A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Paul Gallant.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
The most interactive sports radio show in Houston.
Paul, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the devastation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Oh, he's in one of those zones right now.
Attacks the basket again. Got it to go for the foul.
Jalen Green has to hit some of the toughest shots that I've ever seen in my entire life. Hand with English, and look at this. He just takes off of on a trampoline, and my goodness, making it look good there.
I cannot be more impressed by how the Houston Rockets absolutely destroyed the Los Angeles Lakers last night. 128-94. And get this. For the first time in 1,005 days, they are back above 500. It has been rough watching Houston Rockets basketball of late. And I'm sure there's going to be some, well, actually, folks, pointing at the fact that the Los Angeles Lakers did not have Anthony Davis for last night's game. But you're just a Debbie Downer. More of a Debbie Downer than me if you're doing that. I mean, this thing was in hand easily in the first quarter. Continued in the second, it continued through the third, and I thought to myself, okay, well, they're probably going to find their way back into this game at some point. They do have LeBron James. They didn't even play LeBron in the fourth quarter. They got their asses kicked so much. It was truly impressive, and I mean, you can only point at one person for all of these changes. It's Ime Udoka, and when the hire was made, I think everyone outside of the off the court stuff loved the decision by the Rockets, because I mean, this is a guy that was able to get a bunch of Boston Celtics players who weren't working well together to figure things out by the end of his first year on the job, and ultimately lead them all the way to the NBA Finals against the Golden State Warriors, who ultimately beat them. He comes into this team, and I mean, what have we been saying the last couple of years about some of the young players on the Houston Rockets? You've been wondering if they made the right choice. I specifically would raise my hand and say that I've had some serious questions about Jalen Green. And last year, it felt like he didn't really take a step from the year before forward at all. And you could blame that on Steven Silas. You can blame that on Jalen Green. You can blame it on whoever you want. But I think the Ime Udoka effect has been seen most in Jalen Green especially. And Green was fantastic. And I don't know if it's a going up against the Lakers thing, because he has 20-plus points, I think, in all six games that he's played against the Lakers. He does put up a lot of points. But look at these numbers. 11 of 15 from the field. 5 of 6 from outside. 28 points. 7 rebounds. And you wonder, why is it that Jalen Green, right now, seems to be figuring out how to play basketball in a way that is efficient, in a way that isn't perhaps coming at the expense of ball movement and the guys that are around him on the team? And I mean, why aren't you pointing at anybody other than Ime Udoka? Hell, Ime Udoka reminded Jalen Green that, hey, you were on the USA select team, and Austin Reeves, who you're playing against, with that weird haircut that he's got, Austin Reeves, he was on actual Team USA. Udoka was asked about it after the game.
You know, wanted to play a matchup against a fellow USA guy. And he was on select team. Reeves was with the big team. And so, you know, I reminded him about that.
Green also confirmed it after the game. And I wonder what all of these young players are thinking, just what they had last year, Steven Silas, compared to this season, and the amount of games that it took for them to figure it out. Because the first three games of the season for the Rockets were rough, but now they've won four in a row. Here's Jalen Green talking about Ime Udoka, giving him a little motivation.
teammates said he reminded you that Austin Reeves was on the USA team and you were on the select team. Did that give you a little extra juice?
He did mention that. He said that after the dunk, the 3-point and the dunk, he was like, yeah, he did say that. I ain't been going to it, but yeah, it was a little confidence boosting. But, you know, I get that from all my guys here, so I appreciate it.
Whatever motivation you can find anywhere, you take it, you use it. And, okay, maybe that's the reason Green played so well last night, but his last two games, he's looked good. And there are definitely asterisks that you can put next to the last three Rockets wins. The Sacramento Kings did not have De'Aaron Fox for any of those games, and the Lakers were playing last night with Anthony Davis. They also gave a litany of excuses after the game as to why they're not playing well, which we'll get to in a bit. But I do want to stick with the Houston Rockets. So you have Ime Udoka in, and the dead weight's gone. I hate to say this about Steven Silas, but it was clear that none of the players were progressing under him, and you need to develop your players. You have to challenge them. You have to get them to make incremental or massive improvements over the course of a season. It really felt like there were none from any of the young Rocket players last season, outside of maybe Jabari Smith Jr. down the stretch. And there's no Kevin Porter Jr. There's no Christian Wood, who you saw on the other side of the court for the Los Angeles Lakers. Did you see Christian Wood pretend that he got hit in the nuts? Did you see that? He just fell to the court. It was a terrible call. The refs were not great. What else is new in basketball? But it was nice to also see one of the guys who had been dead weight for this team in the somewhat distant past be on another team and just suck it up. He stunk. No Kevin Porter Jr. turning the offense into a sit around and watch party. You got a team that's playing defense. You got a team that's trying. And then there's the other guy that's the big reason for the change. And maybe statistically, not the best performance. Just 5 points. But in a game where LeBron James was largely forgotten, he did have 18 points in 3 quarters. Sean Mapes, are you ready? Are you officially ready to buy a Dylan Brooks jersey? As was hinted during yesterday's show. You're wondering whether or not you're a Dylan Brooks fan? Are you a Dylan Brooks fan?
It's more than just the performance on the court during the game.
Pray, do tell. Because the stats do not tell the whole story of Dylan Brooks last night.
From Kelly Eco, great video that was captured.
It's so good.
LeBron, at one of the stoppages in play, looked like it was like as they're getting the Rockets power dancers off the court after like a timeout, was just standing, looking towards the baseline. And standing uncomfortably close to him, maybe like 2 feet
less
away
than
from
two
him.
Feet.
Their faces were probably.
They could have kissed.
Yes, they could have leaned in 9 inches each and kissed each other. And it was Dylan Brooks staring right back at the king, the villain, and the king. Locking horns. The attitude is actually something. Like, the attitude of, it starts with Ime Udoka, like you mentioned, being like, hey, Austin Reeves, the guy who pretty shaky on defense, got selected to the Team USA, and then out in Team USA, kind of got abused by every guard with the pulse they went up against. Yeah, Jalen Green, that's who's guarding you. And then you have Dylan Brooks doing all the Dylan Brooks stuff, including, like, actually playing good defense. Like, that is part of it. We get caught up with the antics, but the actual defense that he plays is so good. And then you throw that in with lineups where you have Jayshon Tate and Tari Eason out there with Dylan Brooks, and it just feels like it'd be miserable to play against those guys.
I'm not going to lie. I love it when those guys are on the court together. And you know me. I'm basically someone who likes it when basketball players play football. You know, my favorite players are Marcus Smart and Patrick Beverley. And while it's going to take some time, I think, for me to appreciate that Dylan Brooks is now one of our own, I have really enjoyed this thus far. I mean, 4 years and $80 million is ridiculous. Until you see this in action and realize it's not your money. He was doing the stare downs before the game in warmups, during the game as well, and okay, maybe you need to have some just completely delusional person on your team to make the rest of the team similarly delusional. And to your point, Sean, about his defense, He made LeBron James work on a couple of possessions, and you could tell LeBron was taking things personally. He was huffing and puffing.
Yeah. He was trying to back him down, like, under the basket every single time. And he did a couple times. But that just speaks to, yes, LeBron was very much taking the matchup of him versus Dylan Brooks very seriously.
So seriously.
And Brooks was able to step up.
On top of that, it felt like whatever resistance Brooks and the rest of the Rockets were giving got in LeBron's head, because it wasn't that long into the game. LeBron was just complaining for a call on just about every single possession. And look, a lot of stars in the NBA do this. I don't think LeBron's that much different from others. I just know that in last night's game, after just a little bit of time, the Rockets were such an annoying gnat to the Lakers that the Lakers started complaining, and they were complaining a lot. And they, of course, had been complaining going into the game about foul calls that had not been made. So it's fun. Even if this Lakers team isn't all that the jersey that they're wearing would seemingly make them be, even if they're not the Lakers teams of old, to see the Rockets do that last night, it's crazy that in basically a week's worth of games that the Houston Rockets are so much different than where they were last year. It's Ime Udoka, it's Dylan Brooks, and I know that not everybody who listens to us is a basketball fan. I also know that their schedule is not getting any easier. They have been rather fortunate with the injuries that the Kings have been dealing with, and with the injury that Anthony Davis missed the Lakers game last night. But this is a much more watchable product than we have seen in years. And I'm saying that. And you know how much of at times, like, just so opposed to the Rockets that it wasn't even possible for me to jump aboard. This was fun. I enjoyed last night's game a lot.
Yeah, and to talk about the schedule a little bit, it's like they've won all four of their games this season, the last four games. So they're on a four game. All of them have been by double digits.
Yeah.
And the last two have been by 20 plus.
You're right, Sean. It would be one thing if it was by a little bit.
Yeah.
They are killing these teams, killing them.
And like last night, they didn't come out and shoot the lights out. They didn't shoot, like, they shot well, but it wasn't one of those nights where one team just makes 25 threes and you're like, all right, great to come out, and there's no way we're gonna, like, there's no way one team shoots 25, makes 25 threes and the other team wins. That's basically mathematically impossible. But they came out and just outworked the Lakers.
They did.
They just ran circles around the Lakers.
Alper Şengün played defense against Christian Wood. Was he taking it personally?
I think he was. I think he also took it personally when they put that Castleton guy, who I've literally never heard of.
I didn't either. There's a bunch of Lakers. I'm like, who the hell are these guys?
The second he came out there and was standing next to Şengün, I was like, if they don't run the next five plays right at this guy, the Rockets have done something wrong. And in past years, they wouldn't have run five straight plays at this guy with different coaches. They would not have done that. With Ime Udoka, every play was involving Alperen Şengün and this random Castleton guy for the Lakers, and they lit him on fire. They just absolutely lit him on fire and grew the lead.
This is my favorite stat of the night. The Rockets were winning by so much that not only did Boban Marjanovic play 6 minutes, he had 6 and 7.
Oh, he fills it up in garbage time.
he really filled it up. What a win for the Rockets. You want to talk about it, 713-780-3776 to call and to text. And you'll never guess who LeBron James paid tribute to at last night's game. I'm not talking about C.J. Stroud. And it honestly was half-assed tribute, and I kind of took it personally. Paul Galancho, stick around.
ESPN 97.5 on Twitch. All systems go.
Houston is all systems go.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
What does it mean to you for you guys to have won four games in a row for the first time in 2 years?
It's a blessing. I'm just happy about it. I've been in the losing category for so long, so, you know, it's good just to see the results and the progression that, you know, the team is doing.
And it has been quick progression with Ime Udoka in charge. I saw Jerome Solomon had a column in the Houston Chronicle before the Rockets-Lakers game, and it was about how you really can't help but smell or see the good vibes coming out of both NRG Stadium and the Toyota Center. You got these young teams, and they're buying in. With the Texans, they have a great quarterback, potentially, in C.J. Stroud. With the Rockets, it's not about the great players necessarily as much as it's just a complete shift in mentality. And it's great to see that a shift like that can pay immediate results, because sometimes a changed mindset doesn't do bleep. Sometimes changing your mindset works for a couple of weeks, a couple of months at most, but everyone reverts back to the mean because it is hard for people to change in life. We all know this.
Or like you touched on the last part where it's hard to change. You'd expect it to take longer. You'd think right. That it'd take longer to flush all the Silas ball out of some of these guys.
That's a good way to say it.
And, you know, now I'm looking at their next game, in-season tournament game at home at Toyota Center against the Pelicans. I'm like, can the Rockets make noise in the in-season tournament? Probably not, but I don't know.
You know what? I don't even think you could say probably not anymore, because I feel like they're going to take it more seriously than perhaps other teams will.
They need the Nuggets to absolutely no-show, and maybe the Mavericks too. Clippers, I'm not worried about.
I'm not worried about the Clippers either. Did you hear what was happening with James Harden's return to Brooklyn?
I saw he threw a ball at the Nets like broadcast team.
I didn't see that. I heard that fans, and I didn't know Brooklyn had enough fans to even put a chant together. Well, no offense, that's a Knicks town.
No, and it's a big, the stadium gets packed for the road team town.
Correct. But I guess with the Clippers, not many people are coming to town to watch the Clippers. I guess the crowd started chanting, Daryl Morey. Which is a very creative chant for a fan base that I would not expect that from.
Yeah, that is good.
I would expect that at Madison Square Garden, which is a very overrated arena. But that's a good job by Nets fans to try to get in that guy's head. So anyway, to bring it back, the Rockets win. It was an easy victory over the Los Angeles Lakers last night, 128-94. A couple of comments, 713-780-3776 to call, to text. You can also join on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. A lot of Twitch comments are saying, we love the defense. Todd the Show says Jalen Green's shot seems better. And I may have roasted Jalen a lot. Playing in a system might make me not hate him. I feel better about Jalen, too. There are a couple of moments still where I'm like, okay, relax a little bit. But
and a couple of them went in.
Yeah.
There's one on the three-pointer near the baseline where I like made a noise out loud when he shot. I was like, oh my God, dude. And then it went in. I was like, oh, okay.
He was hot last night, and hey, if you're hot, you're supposed to keep shooting. There was another where he drove down into the lane and then went underneath the basket, and he does this thing where he just throws the ball up behind him, and it looks terrible, but someone got called for a foul. But I don't think there's any denying that he's got some real talent. It's a matter of, hey, are you going to be able to operate within a system? Are you going to pass the ball, or are you going to be constantly doing, as Sean said a little bit earlier, some of the Silas ball stuff that is now flushed down the drain, which is essentially like everybody does whatever they want because they're kids and it's fine. Like, that's what it was. Another text saying Şengün not playing more last year with Silas is coaching malpractice. That's from Man Bear Pig in Cyprus. It seriously is. There is no logic behind it. It's not defensible.
I think we were all like, or all the real heads were like, why did they not give the ball to Şengün at least sometimes? And now he's like such a focal point, to even a point where I'm surprised, where I'm like, wow, they're really like, especially when they did play where they're playing some closer games, like against the Spurs, against the Hornets, and like in crunch time it is Fred VanVleet getting the ball to Alperen Şengün and figuring something out. And I was like, wow, that's a lot of trust to put in this guy. But, you know, I was always a believer, and I'm glad that Ime is also a believer after having a coach that was not a believer last year.
Yeah. As far as things that we do believe in the power of friendship. And one of our friends, Vanessa Richardson, with the Rockets wearing their City Connect jersey. She got to interview two of the greatest Rockets of all time. We love Vanessa. And I did get a tickle from this interview, though. And I'll explain why after we play her talking with the two greatest Rockets of all time.
I want to start by just thanking you guys for your time and ask you what it means to be honored as a hometown hero.
Well, it's an honor for me, you know, especially being in Houston. It reminded me of my college days. Yeah. This is a big honor for me.
What does it mean to you, Clyde, to be honored as a hometown hero?
Just what Akeem said, as a guy who grew up here, it's a tremendous honor. You know, the jerseys are phenomenal. It's always great to be honored. Great to be here. I love the team. I think it's going to be a good year.
Okay, so when you saw that the jerseys were Phi Slamma Jamma themed, what did you guys think?
Well, you can't go wrong. Phi Slamma Jamma was off the chart.
What about you, Dream?
It's amazing that up to today, people are still talking about Phi Slamma Jamma. Yeah. That means a lot.
Okay, so obviously this is a new team. You have Ime Udoka. You're his all-time favorite player. He loves you because of the Nigerian connection. What do you think the Rockets can do?
Well, with Udoka as the head coach, you see the way they're defending. He's known for his great defense. This team, I think, is going to make the playoffs. That's my prediction.
Whoa!
Hakeem, what do you say?
Tremendous talent, and they play with confidence.
Hakeem, a little more measured. That's the most I've ever heard out of Clyde Drexler ever. So shout out to Vanessa for getting that out of them. And you know why they got it? Because Vanessa thanked them for their service at the beginning of that interview.
To the Rockets.
Right. Thank you for your service. Someone's commenting, well, you know, Drex wasn't here long enough to be considered one of the two greatest Rockets. I just want to do whatever I can to make sure James Harden is not one of them. I will do whatever I can.
Just know, listener, when he said that, I can talk into Paul's ear coming out over the air, and I just went, she wasn't talking to James Harden.
No, because guess what, Sean? Those guys, Cougs. So, Cougs, greatest okay. Rockets ever. Obviously, our beloved Cougs are the best basketball players in town. Still are. Hey, Sean, you can't get away from LeBron coverage, can you?
Especially not when he plays in your city.
It's really annoying, though. I'm glad that this is done. The amount of things that made me roll my eyes were, let's see, one, two, three, four, five, six. Six things made me roll my eyes about LeBron James before the game even started.
Okay, let's rapid fire them. I will just say I'm glad the Rockets are now good enough to where this is like the last thing we mention with the Rockets when LeBron comes to town as opposed to the first.
Okay.
Let's wrap just as quickly as you can.
One, LeBron James knew C.J. Stroud was a star long before he joined the Texans.
Well, watched him at Ohio State.
That's the Houston Chronicle headline. Yeah. I don't care.
Big Ohio State fan.
Number two, there were two headlines about LeBron James liking C.J. Stroud in the Houston Chronicle for two different articles.
That's SEO right there, baby.
LeBron James shows his support for Texans rookie C.J. Stroud. Then LeBron James hugged C.J. Stroud. Two goats recognizing goats. Okay, well, that doesn't bother me as much as when it's juxtapositioned with how LeBron James treated World Series champion catcher Martin Maldonado. Did you see that? Maldonado, big basketball fan, is sitting courtside, and LeBron comes over to him and looks almost disgusted by him before giving a weird bow to Maldonado, congratulating him on all his success. There is no way that he knew who Martin Maldonado was and who Maldonado played for. And that reminded me that Maldonado, check that. That reminded me that LeBron, here's number five, LeBron is making a movie about the Astros sign-stealing scandal. Did you know that? Yes, it's still apparently in production. It's been 3 years. Guess the production isn't going great. And also it made me remind, number six, it reminded me of this tweet by LeBron James during the Astros sign-stealing scandal in February of 2020. Listen, I know I don't play baseball, but I am in sports, and I know if someone cheated me out of winning the title and I found out, I would be effing irate. I mean, like, uncontrollable about what I would slash could do. Listen here, baseball commissioner. Listen to your player speaking today about how disgusted, mad, hurt, broken, et cetera, about this. Literally, the ball is in your court, or should I say field, and you need to fix this for the sake of sports, exclamation point, hashtag, just my thoughts coming from a sports junkie, regardless my own sport I play. So, honestly, I feel like Team Maldonado, we've been big Maldi guys. Maldi shouldn't have shaken his hand. He shouldn't have even tried to shake his hand. Shouldn't have tried to honor him. Shouldn't have tried to respect him. Honestly, should he have spit on the court? I don't know. I'm asking the question. Should he have spit on the court while LeBron James walked by? I don't know. I'm just asking the question.
I'm interested in, like, how often does LeBron, like, congratulate people for their success and he has no idea who they are? Because I suspect that he did that. And I feel like every NBA player does this. Like, I feel like every star, they before the game, they get pointed to someone sitting courtside and they're like, Mr. So-and-so would love to meet you. And he's just like, hey, big fan. And they just keep it moving. Like, did he know, like,
but
this,
he
guy, looked,
CJ Stroud,
this guy looks like a
son.
Professional athlete. Well,
here's the thing. Maldonado does not look like a professional athlete.
Yeah, true.
Maldonado did not. I saw the picture of Maldonado, and I thought to myself, you know what? In LeBron's defense, if I saw that guy, would I think he's one of, like, the most important Houston Astros ever? Do you like how I've done that twice in the same segment? Yeah. Clyde Drexler, one of the most important.
No, you Houston said Rockets second best ever. Rocket of all
second
time.
Second best Rocket of all time, yeah. Yeah, he's one of the best players ever, and I mean, yeah, you know, he's the second best Rocket of all time. Oh, Paul, what about Moses Malone and another guy? Yeah, whatever. Okay.
I'll Tracy McGrady.
You know what? It was just because he was a Cougar. That's how I'm going to defend that just absolute terrible take that I had a little bit ago. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Half Nielsen comments on twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. Maldonado kind of looks like a 97.5 host. Not me! Not Sean. We are in shape. We are in shape. Coming up next, which sports radio host at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 is the fattiest, boom-battiest? No, I'm just kidding. We're not doing that. Up next, some really important NFL news. How are you going to avoid watching tonight's game? Because it might be the worst Thursday night game we've seen in some time. Guess what? One guy's definitely not going away from these terrible games anytime soon. And some important Travis Kelce news. Paul Gallant Show, stick around.
ESPN 97.5.com. Take his pork chop.
I don't want his pork chop. I want his life.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Tackling the biggest issues in the NFL.
This just in.
Here's the 10-minute drill with Paul Gallant.
Football time.
Couple of comments real quick. It's the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Not Santa asks best on Twitter. Does Vanessa Richardson respond to your text anymore? Sometimes. Hey, but I saw her at Game 7, Astros and Rangers. That's where I had my margarita. That's where I broke sober October to hang out with Vanessa for a little bit. And actually, yeah, yesterday I found a shirt. Remember how she was so obsessed during the Vag days with got that dog in me? Well, I found a sweater online. It's basically a Costco advertisement. And it says, like, I got that dog. I mean, it shows a picture of Costco's $1.50 hot dogs. I've never had a Costco hot dog. Have you ever had one, Sean?
No, I've had the pizza, though, a lot. Pizza's good.
They used to have brisket sandwiches, and they were really good, and they stopped making them. And I'm bummed out that they stopped making them. I truly enjoyed them. Whenever I went to Costco, I would get one. The hot dog, my problem with the hot dog is there's too much dog and not enough bun. Like, the hot dog's a big hot dog, and but I like the bun.
I might, you know what, next time I might pick up a hot dog just to see.
I think I will the next time I go too.
Get a dog and a slice.
I want that dog in me. Oh, wait a second. Do I? Hey, Thursday Night Football. It's on Thursday night.
I do not want this in me. I do not want this game in my house.
You don't want to watch the Panthers and Bears tonight? The only reason to watch the game is to see how Al Michaels handles it. And by the way, Al Michaels, even though he seems to hate calling football games now, is not going anywhere. He signed a 3-year deal with Amazon. He is being paid. Wow, this is pretty awesome. He's being paid an estimated $500,000 to $1 million a game. He flies private one Thursday a week for less than half the year. Said Michaels, as far as I'm concerned, I'm doing it next year. There's no question about that in my mind. Will Bears Panthers make him reconsider?
I how often do you think during the game, as he's trying not to fall asleep, he opens up his phone and looks at his Chase or Wells Fargo account, and he's like, this is what I'm doing this for.
But at this point, you're doing it for your kids or your grandkids.
Yeah, it's about family.
Family. And you know what? I respect a man.
Al Michaels, Dom Toretto.
I respect a man who keeps cashing those checks for family. Zach Wilson also is not going anywhere. Robert Saleh, when asked about it on the Michael Kay show, he said, yeah, I plead the fifth. but said, I've got to look at it from a global standpoint. I like that attempt at a spin after saying, when asked why you haven't benched Zach Wilson, I plead the fifth. What does that even mean from a global standpoint?
Well, you know, you look at what's going on in today's world, both domestically and abroad. Is now really the time, with so much upheaval, is now the time to change the Jets quarterback? Or is the Jets Jets quarterback stinking up the joint every Sunday? Yeah. Is that what this a nice, you know,
why is it
brings
Michael
us back
K?
To the old days of America?
Michael K, if he was the real one, I mean, instead of asking about Zach Wilson being benched, he would have asked for Salah's thoughts on Hamas. And I would love to hear them. I'd love to hear them. What do you think about Israel?
Would you love to hear him?
What do you think?
You know what? I haven't heard enough famous people's thoughts on Israel Palace.
I need more, because the more I hear, the more I laugh. It's really great.
I saw a headline.
We turn to these people for their opinions on things that they don't know anything about.
I saw a headline.
Hit me.
I wish I could pull it up like right now. But I saw it, and I saw it a couple of nights ago and literally laughed out loud. It was... Selena Gomez's beauty company has to clarify their statement on Israel-Palestine conflict.
That's my favorite thing has been people are releasing statements and then they're recrafting them.
Clarify.
And then they're recrafting them again because they're not sure what they're supposed to say.
Hey, don't kill innocent people, please.
Let's move on to other conspiracy theories, okay? This is a little bit too heavy. How about this great take that went viral on TikTok that... totally doesn't make me want to blow my brains out. This take went viral. It's an NFL take. It supposedly shows that there's a conspiracy for every single team in the Super Bowl.
All right, call me a conspiracy theorist, but hear me out. Every year, the NFL releases a Super Bowl logo. They do this like pre-playoffs. No one knows who's going to be in the Super Bowl. However, the NFL logo has two colors in it. In 2022, the logo had orange and yellow, and the teams that played in that Super Bowl were the Bengals... and the Rams. In 2023, the logo had green and red, and the teams that played in the Super Bowl were the Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs. So I'm just saying, the logo this year is purple and red. It's giving San Francisco 49ers versus Ravens.
I hate that that's become a saying. It's giving. It used to be, it's giving blank vibes. My God. We're all effed. But hey, thank you for your contribution. That got 3 million views. That got 3 million views, Sean.
I mean,
I can't even get 20,000 views.
Ravens,
this bitch
good.
Is getting 3 million. I don't care that I called her that. I hate her. I hate her so much. I hope she fails.
Not her specifically.
No, I hate people like her. And actually, yeah, I will say I hate her specifically.
Oh, okay.
That was a terrible, 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 terrible contribution
to
the internet.
I don't know.
I hate you, too.
Also,
now. You're in the same conversation. Yeah.
I mean,
it's giving.
Know, be a rematch of the 2012 Super Bowl.
You're giving. I need a new producer.
I'm giving. I need to find a new job. Vibes.
God, why do we? When did we start saying it's giving?
I don't know. There's a whole bunch of new sayings where, like, when someone messes up in a game, they're like, "So and so sold this," and I'm like, "What? Why? Why did we need a new way to say this guy blew the game?"
I don't know, man. It's not good. I have a question. Would you rather go to an NFL game or have sex? A model and her boyfriend. I love this write-up by the Daily Star, who chose to bonk outside an NFL stadium as the match was so boring, nearly got caught. Oh, so then they decided that they were going to talk about nearly getting caught so that they could promote their OnlyFans. Yep, this is 2023.
Sounds like they got caught, if we're talking about it.
Kaylee Killian, who has a massive online following thanks to her sizzling bikini snaps. This is a description by Daily Star. She's packing heat upstairs. Shared the daring escapade with her boyfriend, Cody, online. The saucy moment happened on Sunday. Cardinals-Bengals game. Yeah, it's the Cardinals. I get it. I totally get it. Some people are criticizing her for, like, she's not a diehard fan. Like, yeah, who would be a diehard Cardinals fan? I would much rather have sex than watch the Texans. We're in a drought. We are in a drought. Hey, one last story. This is unrelated to whether or not I've had the relations of late. Travis Kelce is, per People magazine... the sexiest athlete alive.
Wow. Congratulations.
I got to say, the Taylor Swift romance has been paying some extreme dividends for him because now he is everywhere. He's doing vaccine ads. He's got at least three big advertisements.
Yeah, he does
the other two.
DirecTV, does it. Campbell Chicken Noodle That's Soup. It. I feel like there's another
He's
one.
Everywhere, man. He's
oh,
everywhere.
He's in State Farm. With,
State Farm, yeah.
With Mahomes and Ma'ato.
He's starting to shove Patrick Mahomes out the way.
Yeah, I mean, he is like probably the most famous football player. Mm-hmm. Just like as total number of people who know him as a football player, he's probably number one.
Yeah. Ugh. Says a lot about our society.
It says a lot about what dating Taylor Swift does.
That's true.
I introduce you to a lot of people.
You know what? Maybe that's how I'll get my NFL takes to go viral, if I date Taylor Swift. Should I ask Taylor Swift out in a public setting? Will that work?
Probably.
Taylor, want to go out?
Probably not now.
Taylor, do you want to go to Chili's? Baby back ribs?
Uchi?
We're going to split the check. No, not Uchi. We've done that on the first day before. That is done. Didn't work out, but I mean, that is done. Anyway, Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. All right, Astros fans, I know. It's the second straight show where it seems like I'm not giving you much attention at all. Well, I didn't want you guys to be mad because you guys are going to be pissed with what I tell you next. Stick around, Paul Galacho.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dude.
Have you paid your dues, Jack? Yes, sir. The check is in the mail.
Welcome back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here is your ambiguously gay host, Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. All right, so I don't want to make Astros fans mad. I really don't. But, guys, there's a report from Jan Lerome. It's part of a write-up that he did based off of an availability that super agent Scott Boras did. Martin Maldonado and the Astros have interest in pursuing a reunion this winter. Multiple people with knowledge of the team's thinking said this week. Oh, boy. So here's the thing. He's the backup catcher. Theoretically, you bring him in so that he catches Justin Verlander, so that he catches Framber Valdez. But I get the pushback. I do. Now, it's good to hear that Dana Brown said that Yiner Diaz is the catcher going forward. And of course, in baseball, you're not going to have your catcher play every single game or the majority of games from a like 80 plus percentage of games level. You know, it's usually what, like I want to say in the 70s or something like that for a starting catcher. It's a difficult position to play. It puts a lot of stress on the knees, etc., etc., etc. But yeah, seems like the Astros are going to bring back Martin Maldonado. And also some Astros fans, this is from our guy Raheel tweeted out, I bet some Astros fans are mad that not only that Maldonado's potentially coming back, but that Maldonado and not Yiner Diaz was sitting courtside at the Rockets Lakers game last night. There's got to be at least one person.
It'd be so funny if Yiner was at the game, but in the, like, 300 section. out up in the rafters watching the game.
Listen, you got to earn your place behind the plate. Oh, you're only hitting 280 and look like the rookie of the year? Sorry, you got to hit 400. And you need to look like you're on pace to break Aaron Judge's record for the seventh most home runs all time? Yeah, seventh
the
most
AL
home
run record.
That too. But yes, you have to look like you're going to do that. So yeah, guys, sorry.
Oh, sorry. Machete is going to be back.
I want Machete back, but a lot of people don't want Machete back.
Maybe not the only question. the first question I think Dana Brown has to ask all the managerial candidates is like,
what do you view Maldi as?
Here's Martin Maldonado. Here's Yiner Diaz. Here's their numbers. Who would you start? Remember, Justin Verlander loves this guy.
I am actually serious about this. Maldonado does want to be a manager someday. Why not make him a player manager? Or you promote Espada and you make Maldonado your catcher slash bench coach. Is that possible? Do you have to be sitting on the bench? I don't know what baseball's rules are for player managers. I don't think we've seen one in a really long period of time. But I feel like that would be a nice compromise, keeping everything in the same, I guess, realm as it was last year. You got the same bench coach. You got Maldonado back. Like, you got your fearless leader who made Adolis Garcia get ejected from Game 5. Then, of course, he goes off in Game 6 and Game 7. Ugh, man. I'm still, from where we were after Game 5 to where we are now, what the F? That's all I could really say is, damn it. It did seem like they had won the series there. It really did. And they couldn't win one of the two games at home. Ugh. That's going to be tough to get over.
Well, I mean, did we ever get over 2019?
I did because I wasn't here for it.
Oh, okay.
There was a part of me that I was that thought to myself.
Yeah, you said this before.
I would be like, they're going to win it with me not here when I left.
The most narcissistic thing.
Well, I am a narcissist. At least I'm honest about it.
I don't think I want the Astros to win it without me there.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Well, I didn't want to leave. I did not want to leave Seattle or Houston for Seattle. I didn't want to leave. I remember at my going away party, I was crying like a baby. I was so upset that I was leaving. I didn't want to leave. I had just started a relationship with somebody. I have a great group of friends here. I was like very, very sad when I left. That relationship's never coming back. We are never, ever, ever getting back together because I didn't try to do long distance.
More Astros news.
Hey, okay. More Astros news. Sorry.
What else did Scott Forrest say?
Yeah, who cares? Nothing matters.
No, what else did he say? Please, tell me.
Altuve and Bregman. No discussions. Oh, but Dana, you said you want them to retire here. No discussions at all? It's again why Dana just needs to not talk. Also, speaking of Houston Astros players, at last night's Rockets game, Lance McCullers Jr., he was there. I think he was there to cut the ribbon for the opening of something.
Oh, he has some coffee, I want to say?
Bury me in the H coffee.
It was some sort of drink. Vanessa was talking about it during the game. I forgot it.
You just didn't listen to her? Wow,
no,
dude.
I did, but I forgot if it was alcohol or coffee. I just forgot. It was one
you
of the two.
Forgot? Okay. Scott Boras said today, Lance McCullers is, quote, certainly going to be pitching next year, no doubt, but did not provide a specific timeline. Dana Brown said that it could be early July. I wonder about McCullers' role. This has been brought up before. Lance McCullers as maybe a guy out of the bullpen. It does lessen the workload. You're clearly overpaying him if you're putting him in the bullpen, but you may as well look at other ways to use him if you're spending this much money on him. And I think that he has shown, at least on social media before, that he is open to the idea of being a bullpen arm. I feel like the Killer Bees, when they were in the 12-3 spot, I remember driving home once and listening to them talk about it. And I was like, yeah, this is a great idea. I think they had a baseball reporter on, too, who suggested the same thing. Why not?
Yeah, I think Keith Law was big on
that
it.
That sounds right. Yeah, Keith Law. Also, the last little tidbit of Houston Astros news, and this is also a big bummer. The Angels have hired Ron Washington for their manager job. Did the Astros miss out on good times? Yes. Good times were missed.
Man.
Energy was missed.
Ron Washington in L.A.?
Ooh. Well, I mean, it should go better than it went with Brad Ausmus in L.A. for similar reasons.
Vibes at the very least.
Well, there's some negative vibes going on in the background and under Ausmus's watch. The Tyler Skaggs thing is a part of Brad Ausmus's Los Angeles legacy, unfortunately. So that might be one of the reasons that people are so dramatically pushing back against Brad Ausmus. I really don't think it matters who the next manager of the Astros is, but there you go, guys. Martin Maldonado probably going to be back with the Houston Astros. Are you mad? 713-780-3776 to call in or to text, and you can join us on Twitter. At Gallant Says, at Sean A. Mapes, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Coming up next, J.J. Watt said something about these Houston Texans that has me optimistic in an unhealthy way. You'll hear him next. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, the only sports radio on FM in Houston.